Hey everyone, and welcome back. We're taking a deep dive today into a topic that I think will resonate with many of you making the holidays work in blended families.
Absolutely.
We've got this really detailed outline for a podcast episode called The Holiday Shuffle. Just the name already has me thinking of all the logistics.
I know. It's like you're constantly shuffling between different places.
Yeah. Juggling multiple homes, different traditions, and maybe even you know, some interesting family dynamics.
Absolutely. The holidays are often portrayed as this picture-perfect time, but for blended families, it can be a lot more complicated.
That's a good word.
There's so much to navigate.
Yeah.
Figuring out the schedules, blending traditions, managing everyone's expectations, and making sure everyone feels included.
Exactly. And that's what we're here to unpack today. We'll explore the challenges.
For sure.
And, most importantly, pull out some practical tips and strategies to help you create a holiday season that's genuinely enjoyable for everyone involved.
Because it should be enjoyable.
Yes.
It shouldn't be something that you dread.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The source material jumps right into this whole idea of a blended family. And it sounds straightforward, but it's not always so simple, is it?
It really isn't. It can encompass so many different situations.
Okay.
You know, divorced parents with new partners, SPIP siblings, adopted children, even extended family members living under one roof.
Right. It's not this one-size-fits-all definition.
It looks different for everyone.
And for anyone who's ever felt that holiday stress of trying to make everything perfect for everyone, the source material calls this the holiday balancing act.
Oh, I love that.
Right.
The holiday balancing act. I can see it.
It's like a juggling act.
Yeah, it is a juggling act.
How do you celebrate across multiple homes without turning into a completely frazzled mess?
Without losing your mind.
Yes. Without losing your mind.
Yeah.
So the outline uses this really good analogy of a holiday shuffle. It's like you're constantly racing between houses, events, family gatherings, just trying to make sure everyone feels included.
Yeah, I know.
It's exhausting just thinking about it.
And you know what? It's not just the adults who feel that shuffle. It's the kids, too.
That's so true.
They're going back and forth trying to remember where they're supposed to be, who they're with.
Yeah, and whose traditions they're supposed to be following at that moment.
And that can be really confusing for them.
So one of the first practical tips the source material suggests is to create a shared holiday calendar.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It seems so simple.
Right? It does.
But when you think about it,
if
everyone can see what's happening and when it just takes away so much of the guesswork and the potential for miscommunication and hurt feelings.
Yes, miscommunication, definitely. And, you know, it reduces stress for everyone.
Yes.
Especially the kids.
The kids especially, because they're often caught in the middle.
They are.
Of these really complex schedules.
Yeah.
The source material also emphasizes how important it is to involve the kids in the planning process as much as possible, obviously, you know, based on their age and their maturity level.
Right.
But to give them a voice.
Yeah.
To help them feel like they have some say.
Absolutely. And that can make such a difference in how they experience the holidays.
I think it's really about, you know, shifting the mindset from surviving the holidays to actually thriving during them.
Yes. I love that. Thriving. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Not just surviving.
And that starts with acknowledging that things might not always go according to plan.
Of course.
And that's okay.
That's okay. We're human.
We are human.
Things happen.
It's about embracing flexibility and finding those moments of joy amidst the potential chaos.
Absolutely. It's the unexpected moments that often create the best memories.
You know, the outline has a whole segment called The Great Holiday Divide, and they encourage listeners to share funny or challenging stories about their own experiences with blended family holidays.
I bet there are some good ones out there.
I bet there are some really good ones out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we all have a few tucked away.
Do you have any that come to mind right away?
Oh, gosh. Maybe we should save that for later.
Okay. We'll save that for later.
Because I think we could go down a rabbit hole with that one.
We could definitely go down a rabbit hole.
But it's about acknowledging that every family has its own unique
quirks
and brings dynamics.
And sometimes those clashes of traditions or personalities can lead to some pretty memorable moments. And the outline gives some really concrete examples of how these divides can play out.
Okay. Like what?
Like what if one side of the family always has pancakes on Christmas morning?
Okay.
While the other side opens gifts on Christmas Eve?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Right. How do you blend those traditions?
That is a tough one. You have to get creative.
You do. It's not just about saying be flexible. It's about finding solutions that honor everyone's customs while also creating something new and meaningful for the blended family as a whole.
I like that. Creating something new.
Yeah.
It's not about erasing the old traditions, but weaving them together.
Weaving them together. I love that.
Yeah.
So like you could have pancakes on Christmas morning.
Okay.
But then maybe you do a special reading of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas on Christmas Eve.
Oh, like that.
Before opening gifts.
That's a good compromise.
It's a compromise.
Yeah.
It's about finding ways to kind of like honor both traditions.
I think we need to bring in Grandma Betty for this.
Yes. Grandma Betty.
She would know exactly what to do.
She's like this recurring character in the source material, this wise elder who's seen it all.
Or she's seen it all.
When it comes to blended family holidays.
She's got all the wisdom.
The outline highlights one of her three holiday rules for a happy family.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What is it?
She calls it the holiday safe word.
A safe word.
Oh, right.
Like what you might hear in
other situations.
Other situations.
Yes. Yeah. But it's actually kind of genius.
Okay, listening.
The idea is that if things start to get tense or uncomfortable, anyone can say the safe word.
Okay.
And everyone agrees to change the subject or take a break.
Oh. So it's like a reset button.
It's like a pressure valve.
I love it.
For those potentially explosive moments that can happen.
Oh, yeah.
When you have a lot of different personalities and you know, histories coming together.
And let's be real. Those moments happen.
They do happen.
They do. Especially during the holidays.
Especially during the holidays.
When everyone's a little bit stressed anyway.
So the safe word is brilliant.
It is. It's like a little reminder to say, hey.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back here. Let's not let things escalate.
It's not about pretending everything is perfect.
Yeah.
It's about being realistic and, you know, prioritizing everyone's
well-being. Well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means just taking a pause. Well, absolutely. And I think that's such an important message, especially for blended families, where there might be a lot of unspoken expectations or
past hurts.
Past hurts that can surface during the holidays.
Absolutely. It's like all that family history is right there under the surface.
It's there.
And sometimes it bubbles up.
It bubbles up.
Yeah.
And you need that pressure valve.
You do. You need a way to release that pressure.
Exactly.
Before it explodes.
Before it explodes.
Right.
Okay. So we've talked about logistics traditions.
Uh-huh.
But let's move on to another potentially tricky area.
Ooh, what's that?
Gift giving.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
The source material calls this section the gift giving puzzle.
It's a puzzle.
It's a puzzle.
So many pieces to fit together.
Right. You've got step siblings, multiple sets of parents, maybe even exes in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
How do you make sure everyone feels loved and appreciated without breaking the bank or creating
awkwardness?
Awkwardness.
Yes. That's the key.
It's a recipe for disaster if you don't.
They can't back too carefully.
The source material points out that gift giving can quickly become this source of tension and competition.
Oh, yeah.
In blended families.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in who's getting what, who's spending how much, and whether everyone is being treated fairly.
It's like this unspoken keeping score.
It is.
Yeah.
And so the source material has some practical strategies.
Okay, good, because we need those.
We need those.
What do they suggest?
One suggestion is setting a family gift budget.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Takes the pressure off
of
trying to keep up with the Joneses and allows everyone to focus on
meaningful gifts
rather than extravagant ones.
I like that because it's not about the price tag. It's about the thought behind it.
It's about the thought.
Yeah.
And it sets a really good example for the kids too.
Absolutely. Teaching them that the holidays are about more than just stuff.
More than just stuff.
Yeah.
The outline also suggests Secret Santa as a fun and simple way to simplify gift giving.
Especially for larger families.
That
can get out of hand quickly.
It can. It can get really chaotic and expensive.
Yeah.
So Secret Santa can be a good option.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Okay. So we've talked about logistics, traditions, gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another aspect of blended family holidays that the source material explores in depth and is something I think is really important, creating that home for the holidays feeling.
That's so important.
Even if you're celebrating in multiple places or non-traditional settings.
Because it's not just about the physical space, right?
Exactly.
It's about that feeling of warmth and belonging.
Yes. And the source material offers some really creative and practical ideas for fostering that sense of home.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
Oh, I love that. Like what?
Like bringing familiar touches from your own home, whether it's, you know, a favorite scented candle,
okay.
a playlist of holiday songs, or even a special tablecloth.
I love that. It's like bringing a little piece of home with you.
It is. It's about creating that sense of comfort
yeah.
and familiarity, even when you're not.
In your usual surroundings.
In your usual surroundings.
Yeah.
The forest material also shares some really heartwarming stories of families who've embraced non-traditional holiday celebrations.
Oh, I love that. Like what?
They talk about families who have Christmas picnics on the beach, Thanksgiving dinners in a cabin.
Wow.
Even New Year's Eve parties at a bowling alley.
That's so fun. It's like they're creating their own traditions.
They are. And it's so refreshing.
Yeah.
You see families thinking outside the box like that.
Yeah.
And creating new traditions that feel authentic to them.
It's about finding what works for your family.
Exactly. And I think that's a great place to pause for now.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll delve deeper into some of those non-traditional celebrations and explore how they can be a wonderful way for blended families to create really unique and meaningful holiday experiences. We'll also talk about the importance of gratitude and reflection as we wrap up the holiday season. So stay tuned.
I can't wait.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about creating that special home for the holidays feeling. And the source material had some really inspiring examples of families who ditched the traditional setting altogether.
You know what's fascinating about those non-traditional celebrations?
What?
They often arise out of necessity.
Well, that makes sense.
Maybe the family is spread across different states, or maybe the idea of being cooped up in a house full of, you know, spirited relatives is just
too much
to handle. Whatever the reason, these families find ways to make the holidays work for them. Yeah. And that's where the real magic happens.
That's where the magic happens. The outline tells this story about a family who started having their Thanksgiving dinner at a local park.
Oh, wow.
Because it was a central location for everyone.
Makes sense.
And there was plenty of space for the kids to run around.
Oh, that's great.
They'd bring their own food, set up some picnic blankets, and even have a little football game going. It sounds so fun and relaxed.
It does. And it takes the pressure off of hosting. Right. You don't have to worry about cleaning the house or cooking a huge meal.
No.
You can just relax and enjoy the day.
I love that. And, you know, it's not just about convenience.
Right.
It's about creating new traditions that feel authentic to your blended family.
That's what's important.
The source material also highlights a family who decided to rent a cabin in the mountains for Christmas.
Oh, cozy.
They wanted to get away from all the hustle and bustle of the city.
I get that.
And create a cozy, intimate setting where they could really connect with each other.
What stands out to me about that story is the intentionality behind it.
Yeah.
They weren't just choosing a random location. They were choosing an environment that would foster connection and togetherness.
It's like creating your own little holiday haven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a grand gesture like renting a cabin.
Right. It could be something smaller.
Yeah.
The source material also talks about families who, you know, celebrate in smaller ways.
Yeah.
Like having a movie marathon night, going yeah. ice skating, mm-hmm. or even volunteering at a local soup kitchen together.
Oh, that's a good one. It's a great way to give back to the community and teach the kids about the importance of helping others.
It is.
Especially during the holidays.
Especially during the holidays.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's be realistic. Even with the best intentions and planning things, can still get a little stressful during the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with the dynamics of a blended family.
For sure.
So how does the source material address that?
Well, they have a whole section dedicated to navigating family dynamics.
Oh, good.
And it dives into some of the challenges that can arise when you have different personalities, parenting styles, and past experiences all coming together under one roof.
It sounds like they're not shying away from the tougher conversations.
Not at all. They acknowledge that there might be some awkward moments,
yeah.
conflicting expectations, mm. even old resentments that can resurface during the holidays.
Oh, yeah. You just never know what's going to come up.
You don't. It's like a Pandora's box sometimes.
It is. It's like opening up this whole history that you thought was maybe resolved.
And sometimes it's not.
And it's not.
Yeah.
So what do they suggest? How do you navigate those tricky situations?
Well, one thing they emphasize is the importance of setting healthy boundaries.
Boundaries are so important.
They are. They actually give an example of a family where the step-parents felt like they were constantly being compared to the biological parents.
No.
Which was creating a lot of tension.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That is really tough.
It is. So they decided to have an open and honest conversation about it.
Oh, good for them.
Setting some ground rules for how they would handle gift giving and communication with the kids.
That's a great approach. It's about being proactive and communicating your needs.
Exactly. And they also agreed to focus on building their own unique relationship with the kids,
Yeah.
rather than trying to compete with the other
It's
parents.
not a competition.
It's not. It's about creating a loving and supportive environment for the children.
Exactly. And the outline also stresses the importance of seeking professional support if needed.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes those family dynamics are just too complex to navigate on your own.
They can be.
And a therapist can provide a safe and neutral space to work through those challenges.
I think that's a really valuable reminder, especially during the holidays when those emotions can feel so heightened.
They can. It's like everything is amplified during the holidays.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about logistics, traditions, gift-giving family dynamics, and even non-traditional celebrations. Is there anything else the source material covers that we should touch on?
There is one more section that I think is really important,
Okay.
and it's all about ending the holiday season on a positive note. They call it ending on a high note.
I like that.
And it's about taking the time to reflect on all the good things that happened, express gratitude, and nurture those family connections.
I love that. It's so easy to get caught up in the whirlwind of the holidays that we forget to pause and appreciate
Oh, no.
the special moments and the people we love.
And just take a breath.
And take a breath.
Yes.
So, what are some practical ways that the listeners can do that? How can they cultivate that sense of gratitude?
Well, the outline offers some really beautiful suggestions for doing that. They talk about starting post-holiday traditions like writing thank you notes together as a family, creating a scrapbook of photos and
Oh, I
memories,
love that.
or even having a thankful jar where everyone can write down what they're grateful for throughout the season.
The thankful jar is such a good idea. It's like a visual reminder of all the good things.
It is. And it's a great way to involve the kids, too.
Yes.
It can become a fun family ritual.
Speaking of memories, do you have any particularly memorable moments from your own family holidays, whether they were heartwarming or hilarious?
Oh gosh, so many. There have been some epic baking disasters, some impromptu dance parties,
Oh, fun.
and some truly unique gift exchanges that have become legendary family stories.
That's what makes family holidays so special, isn't it?
It is the imperfections, the
Yeah.
unexpected moments,
Shared
the
stories
shared stories. Exactly.
that we'll be telling for years to come.
And you know what? It's important to acknowledge that the holidays can also be a time of sadness or grief for some people,
That's true.
especially those who might be experiencing loss or going through a difficult family transition.
The source material does touch on that.
It does.
Just reminding listeners that it's okay to feel a range of emotions during the holidays.
Absolutely. It's not about forcing yourself to be happy or cheerful if that's not where you're at.
Exactly. It's about honoring your feelings, whatever they may be, and finding healthy ways to cope.
Yeah. It might mean setting aside some quiet time for yourself, talking to a trusted friend or therapist, or even creating new rituals that honor the memory of loved ones who are no longer with you.
It's about giving yourself permission to experience the holidays in a way that feels authentic to you.
Exactly. Even if it looks different from what others are doing.
I think that's a beautiful message to end on.
I do too.
The holidays are a time for reflection, connection, and celebration, but they're also a time for self-compassion and acceptance.
Beautifully said.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to thank you for sharing your insights and expertise with us. This has been such a rich and thought-provoking conversation.
It's been a pleasure. I always enjoy exploring these topics that touch on the heart of what it means to be a family, especially during the holidays.
And to all of our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope this deep dive is giving you some practical tips, new perspectives, and maybe even a little bit of inspiration as you navigate the holidays in your own blended families.
I hope so.
Remember, there's no one right way to do it. It's about finding what works for you and creating those special moments that will become treasured family memories for years to come. Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.
We're back, and you know, it's funny, we talk about holiday stress,
Yeah.
but this whole conversation has been so positive.
It has.
There are challenges,
Yeah.
but it's like this incredible opportunity to create something really special and unique.
I think that's a great way to look at it.
The holidays and blended families can be this amazing melting pot.
It's true. It's not always smooth sailing, but the potential for joy, connection, and those aha moments is
It
huge.
is. So how do we make that shift from surviving to thriving?
Well, one thing the source material emphasizes is the power of reframing.
Okay.
Instead of seeing all the potential pitfalls, try focusing on the possibilities.
Not be bad.
What new traditions can you create together? What unique strengths does each person bring to the table?
Yeah.
How can you turn those potential challenges into opportunities for growth and connection?
It's about looking at it with excitement rather than dread.
Right. Asking what if instead of oh no.
What if?
And it's also about remembering that it's okay to let go of perfection.
Oh, yeah.
The holidays don't have to be picture perfect to be meaningful.
I think sometimes those messy, imperfect moments are the ones we remember the most.
They are. The outline actually includes this hilarious anecdote about a family who had their Christmas tree fall over.
Oh, no.
In the middle of opening presents.
Oh, my gosh.
Total chaos. But they all ended up laughing hysterically about it. And now it's become a classic family story.
You can't plan for those moments.
And you can't.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best memories are the ones we don't plan for.
It's about embracing the unexpected.
And finding the humor in those chaotic moments.
It's about remembering what truly matters.
Yes. The people we love, the connections we make, and the memories we create together.
And speaking of memories, it's important to acknowledge that the holidays can also be a time of sadness or grief for some people.
That's true.
Especially those who might be experiencing loss or going through a difficult family transition.
Absolutely. The source material reminds us that it's okay to feel a range of emotions during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about forcing yourself to be happy if that's not where you're at.
It's about honoring your feelings and finding healthy ways to cope.
Exactly. It might mean setting aside some quiet time for yourself, talking to a friend or a therapist, or even creating new rituals that honor the memory of loved ones who are no longer with you.
It's about giving yourself permission to experience the holidays in a way that feels authentic to you.
Even if it looks different from what others are doing.
I think that's a beautiful message to end on.
Me too. The holidays are a time for reflection, connection, and celebration, but they're also a time for self-compassion and acceptance.
Beautifully said. As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to thank you for sharing your insights and expertise with us. This has been such a rich and thought-provoking conversation.
It's been a pleasure. I always enjoy exploring these topics, especially during the holidays.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope this deep dive has given you some practical tips, new perspectives, and maybe even a little bit of inspiration as you navigate the holidays in your own blended families. Remember, there's no one right way to do it. It's about finding what works for you and creating those special moments that will become treasured family memories for years to come.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.